sustaining you. And it's good to see so many new faces. And one of the blessings of this, I think since the fellowship and the church started, we've always had visitor every Friday. And I was wondering how will it be possible, especially for the new people to join us on Zoom and not having the link. But look what God has done. God is faithful and he has made it all possible. So today we are going to share God's word. And I wanted to share on a topic. Let me see if I can. I may try to make some slides. Let me hopefully that I will be able to project them. Let's see. Okay, let's try. Okay, let me know if you can see the screen, if you can see the slides. Okay, great, excellent. Okay, so we've been learning about spiritual growth, and this is something that God has been helping us learn. The past previous topics that we've had, we've looked at what does it mean to be born again and what does it mean to be born of the Spirit. And today we are going to look at something that God has placed in my heart, and which is what we call spiritual growth. And I think this is one of the most important aspects of our Christian growth, considering that many of us either have come to salvation, we've come to know about God, we know about church, we know about what it means to be a Christian, we have a basic understanding of the faith. But what we realize is that either we slip back into the world, we backslide, or we find that we are stagnating in our spiritual growth. Or when maybe you go to a different country where you find that there is no church, or you go to a different town where there is no church, then you don't find that you are consistently growing in the things of God. And if someone was to ask you, okay, share something, a message that, if I was to ask, let's say, anyone to share a message, then you will find that the message that you had maybe 10 years ago or 3 years ago is still the same message that you have. In that you are not, either you will share from John 3:16, the verse that you know, and if you are to really examine yourself, you will find that you have not grown, or rather you're not growing spiritually. So I think for me, I felt that this is an area that we need to look at, and by the grace of God, he's going to help us understand and go through it. Yeah, so okay, so introduction. So what we've been learning so far is that the human being has both a physical and a spiritual component. That means you have the material, which is your body, which is your outer man, which everyone can see. But then every human being has what we call the spiritual component, which is immaterial, which is composed of mostly the soul and the spirit. And there are those who look at it as human beings having both a body, a soul, and a spirit. And there are those who look at it just as two parts, where they look at the soul and the spirit being one. And so looking at the outer man and the inner man. So one thing that we are clear, that we know each of us, is that from the Bible, it tells us in Genesis 1:26, is that God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. What does that mean? It means that
recording in progress.
Okay, good. Okay, God has made human beings in his image and likeness. That means that the characteristics, the spiritual characteristics, the same spirit that God had is the same spirit that he breathed into man, and man became a living soul, and he became a living being that could exist and could do the work that God had created him, because God gave man to have dominion and to rule over all created things. That means over the earth, the dominion over the sea, over the birds, over the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every living thing. But you see, when God made man, he gave him responsibilities. I mean, he put Adam in the Garden of Eden, and he told him that you shall take care of this garden, you shall eat from every fruit, every tree that you want, but except that you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told Adam that the day that you shall do so, that day you shall surely die. And what we saw in our previous teachings is that the day Adam ate of that fruit, he died. And he might not have died physically at that point immediately, but what happens is that he died spiritually. And so the spiritual part that was made that could connect with God, remember, God being spirit, the Bible tells us that his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So anyone without the Spirit of God, anyone who is not made alive, and anyone who's living in sin will find that they are not connected to the Spirit of God. They are spiritually dead, and they are not able to relate to God and to have him, to know that his presence is with them, and to know that they have a relationship with God. So just because Romans 5 tells us that as one man, sin entered into the world, and as a result, death came by sin, so also death came to all men. And for that reason, all have sinned. So in God's creation, he made man. Man was having a relationship with him. God will come and visit Adam in the Garden of Eden. And if Adam never sinned, all of us right now will just be enjoying the Garden of Eden. We'll be enjoying fellowship with God. And we will be having that presence with God. But because Adam disobeyed God and his wife, then sin entered into the world, and it resulted in spiritual death. Because with sin, the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. So because of sin, then all of us died. But then now we are talking about spiritual growth, and someone will ask, so what does it mean to grow spiritually? I will say the first point, that salvation is the starting point for spiritual growth. And what is salvation? The Bible tells us that it is by grace that we are saved, and this is by faith. And it's not of ourselves, so that anyone can boast. It is the gift of God, and we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God had prepared before for us to do. Now, when it says that salvation is by grace, and it's we are saved by faith, it tells us that for you to actually be saved, you must put your faith in God, and you must put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus who died for our sins. And because he died for our sins, we died too, and he took our place. And because he took our place, we are no longer under judgment, in that we are now we face the mercy of God, in that because all judgment for sin that was supposed to be put on us for our sin that Adam had sinned, Jesus comes and pays that price. So salvation is the starting point for spiritual growth. You cannot grow unless you understand salvation, and also unless you are born again. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 verse 5. He said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And in verse 3 it said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so all of us here desire to get to the kingdom of God. We desire to be in the kingdom of God. Why? Because everything on earth will pass away. The reality is, no matter how much money you have, no matter what position you have in the workplace or whatever you have, at the end of the day, when your time is done, whether you're 60, 70, 80, or even when you're 30, because it's God who determines our time, a time will come when each of us will transition from this life into the next. Now, if you have not made your peace with God in this life, then it is too late, because the Bible tells us that it is appointed once for man to die, then after that, judgment. So after death, there is nothing that anyone can save you. There's no prayer that is made for the dead that can save them. And anyone who says we are praying that, oh God, bless their soul in a good place, the reality is nothing like that happens. If that person had not made a decision for themselves to accept Jesus, to put their faith in Christ for the salvation, for the forgiveness of their sins, then they will not receive the inheritance of the kingdom of God, and they will not enter into the kingdom of God. So salvation has two aspects. As you've said, you must put your faith in God. It is by grace. But also Romans chapter 10 verse 9 to 10 tells us that if you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. For with a man heart, the heart the man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Simply what that verse tells us, which you can have time to look at, is that there are two aspects to how we believe. Someone can just say, okay, I believe. You know, I mean, you can talk to someone, do you believe in Christ? Yes, 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 I believe. Did he die? Yes, yes. But you see, that is just a mental or a head knowledge. So there is that head knowledge which comes from what you say. I mean, someone can tell you, okay, I believe, I say the Lord's Prayer. But you see, the Bible says with your heart also believe. So these two aspects go hand in hand. That means you must confess with your mouth, in that your brain agrees with that, but also beyond that, your heart, your inner man, your heart here refers to your soul, must also believe that, you know what, this is actually real. I was in need of judgment. I deserved to die, but Christ paid the price for my sin. Now, when you believe that totally with your heart and you confess that with your mouth, then the Bible tells us, then you shall be saved. You shall be saved. So we are saved when not only our minds agree, but also our hearts agree. And that's why the Bible describes this aspect of a double-minded person, in that you say one thing, but you believe a different thing. In that you believe that God has forgiven you, but then you're thinking, oh, but I don't think he forgave me. What I did was too much. So you see, then you become double-minded, in that your heart, your inner man, your heart and your brain does not agree. So salvation, for you to grow spiritually, you must first come to the place of where you actually give your life to Jesus, and you believe with your heart and with your confess with your mouth. And when you've done that, then now you become saved. So salvation is the starting point. And there are so many benefits of salvation. Your sins are forgiven. You're made spiritually alive. The Bible tells us that you have crossed over from death to life. When you give your life to Jesus, when you become saved, you receive eternal life. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believes, that he sent his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. That means we have a life that does not end. That means when we die on this earth, the Bible says, believers, we just sleep. So we will just sleep and we will wait for the trumpet. And when the trumpet will be sound, we shall go and meet our Father. We shall meet the Lord in the air. And so we have eternal life. Third thing, a benefit of salvation, is that we move from being a slave to sin to become children of God. We become slaves of righteousness. That means that anyone that is not born again becomes a victim of the devil, becomes a victim of sin. And you find that no matter how hard this person tries to turn away from sin, they are not able to turn away from sin. They find that they are stuck in sin. Why? Because they are held captive by sin. But the Bible tells us that when we become children of God, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are made slaves to righteousness, in that we become sons of God and we are made children of God. And when we are children of God, we are loved. Think of how God, this Jesus, when he was speaking of to Zacchaeus, he said that this is a son of Abraham. I came to seek the one that was lost, and now he's found. Even the tax collector, even this person that you think that is persecuting people, this person that you think can never turn and hates Christianity or does that, this person has the ability to be saved. The Bible tells us that God's desire is that all men be saved. Every man to be saved. That is the desire of God. The Bible also tells us that he that was made poor, he became poor so that we might become rich. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. When you come to salvation, God gives you every blessing that you need. The Bible tells us that his divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness. I tell you, there is more of riches than money. There is more wealth that God gives you that is beyond material resources. Yes, God is able to bless you materially, but when we speak of the prosperity, of the blessing of God that comes from salvation, it is beyond just money. It is health, it is family, it is peace of mind. There are those who have houses but can't sleep in them. But you might not have a house, but you are able to have the peace of God. The Bible tells us when we were in sin, we were enemies of God, but we are now made friends of God. God tells us that we are made new creation. We are a new creation. And then it also tells us that we overcome the world. He that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. And most importantly, I will say one of the greatest benefits of salvation is that you receive the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God himself. And is this Spirit of God, when he comes into you, and then he makes you alive, he becomes your teacher, he becomes your guide, he becomes your comforter, he becomes your advocate. I mean, he defends you. He gives you the abiding presence of God. You have the assurance that God is in you because he is God himself. He gives you anointing, he's able to give you different gifts, and beyond that, he's also able to release power in your life. So there are various benefits of salvation, and I said for you to grow spiritually, the first thing that you must start with salvation. If you don't have an understanding of what salvation is, there is no way you are able to grow spiritually. Then I will say, what is the second thing about spiritual growth? The next after salvation is that we must desire to grow spiritually. You can think of a baby. When you have a baby, the first thing that the babies are born with is hunger. A baby can be wet with the pampers, can be wet with everything, but the first thing that they cry for, apart from oxygen, is food, hunger. They cry for milk, and the Bible describes that thing in the natural. The same way that in the natural, it says that like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that you might grow in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. What is that telling us? That God expects us that after you have come to salvation, after you've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, it is expected of you to grow spiritually. Now, that means that you will need to feed on the Word of God. You will need to partake of the milk of the Word of God. Just like the way milk to a newborn baby is important, is the same way the Word of God, the sincere milk of the Word of God, is what helps you grow. Anytime that you are not reading the Bible, anytime that you are not even listening to the Bible, someone might struggle to read, but you can listen to sermons, you can listen to teachings of the Word of God, you can be where the Word of God is being taught, the sincere Word of God is being taught. When that is being taught, then that is able to grow you. Just like in the natural, if you don't eat, what happens is that you become malnourished, you become emaciated, and then you die. Likewise also in the spiritual things, the less you take of the Word, the less you grow. So you can be walking, physically you're strong, but spiritually you're malnourished. Now, Hebrews tells us that when we look at Hebrews chapter 5, it tells us that we are not expected to stay as spiritual children or spiritual babes, but we are expected to become spiritually mature. The Bible says that by this time you ought to be teachers, but yet you still need someone to teach you again. Let's say you've been a Christian all your life. You're now 20 or you're 30 years, or you've been a Christian 5 years. God expects you by this time, you also need to be teaching others. But the writer was writing to the church and saying that by this time I expected you to be teachers, but yet you still need someone to teach you the basic principles of the oracles of God. And as such, you need milk and not strong meat. You know, you cannot give a child meat, but you can give a child milk. But you see, as you grow in the things of God, God starts to give you strong meat. He starts to give you doctrine. You start to understand things of God. And verse 13 tells us that for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This verse is telling us that as you're growing in the things of God, you will learn to start differentiating sin, good from evil. Now, a child will always constantly keep falling here and there in and out of sin. You're playing with sin. Why? Because you think, well, the grace of God is sufficient, and for sure God will forgive you. But you see, when God looks at you, he will say, this is still a child. Now, when you're a child and he wants to send you to another country, or he wants to commit for you some responsibility in the church, God will find that he is unable to do it. Why? Because you still don't have the capacity to handle it. It's just like the same way you cannot buy for your three-year-old child a car and buy a real car. You might only buy a toy car. It's the same way that you could be praying to God, God, I want to do moving miracles, I want to do all this. But when God sees you, he sees that you're still not yet having the capacity, you've not grown spiritually to be able to handle the responsibilities that come with what you're asking for. So whatever it is that you're trusting God for, at times it is just you that has limited yourself in that you've not grown to the level that you can handle the blessing that you're asking God for. So God is not limited in blessing us. In fact, he said he has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. But before it comes to manifest for you in your physical, it will need your growth. It will need your intentional effort. And what the first thing that is we're learning from this is that you need to be able to discern good from evil. You need to get to a point where you say, you know what, this is sin. I'm not going to engage in sin. I'm not going to live in sin. Yes, a time may happen. You might fall in sin. You might make a mistake. But you see, when you make a mistake, then you can go to God and ask for forgiveness. The Holy Spirit will convict you. But you see, when you are growing in the things of God, you will realize that you don't intentionally live in sin. You don't intentionally fall into sin. You're not premeditating the sin. You're not planning the sin. No, it was maybe a slip, but then that is something that God is continually works in you. And as you continue to grow, as you feed on the word of God, as you grow in prayer, then you will realize that by and by that the things that used to disturb you as sins, they start less and less having power and control over you. And even Paul was telling the Corinthian church that I desired to speak to you as mature people, but I could not. But yet, because you're still carnal, you're still children, I fed you with milk, but not with meat. Why? Because you are not able to bear it. Yet, even now, you're not able to bear it. Why? Because you are carnal. Why? Because among you, you're still envying one another. You're still having divisions. You're still fighting. You're still walking as men. Why is he telling you? He's telling you that when you come to Christ, you're transformed. You're a new creation. You're not just a mere man. You're a spiritual being that is made in the image and likeness of God. You are created in Christ Jesus. Your position is in Christ Jesus. And that is what God has created you in Christ. And that is why you need to read the word of God so that you can understand what is the benefit and what are the things that God has prepared for us in salvation. So after you've come to salvation, you need to grow in maturity. Now, many Christians come to salvation and they just stay as babes. Oh, they play around. Oh, they do whatever they want. Christ is not yet Lord over their lives. Yes, they have believed, but he is not Lord. He does not control. He does not guide their decisions. The flesh leads them. I just drew up a table that we can help us differentiate between a spiritual babe and a spiritually mature believer. I will say, you can, and this is something I mentioned, spiritual babes are struggling with sin and sinful nature. Sinful nature is in control over them. You find this person who says, oh, I just don't know what happened. I just found myself watching pornography. Oh, I don't know what happened. I just did adultery. I just don't know what happened. I cannot control it. I'm not in control of myself. And this is the person, yes. And you ask them, do you believe in Jesus? They say, yes. But you see their flesh is still in control over them. Then if you look at the spiritual mature, they have learned to distinguish between sin. They are no longer willfully living in sin. Then spiritual babes do not know the doctrines of the faith. If you ask them, what is the meaning of baptism? No idea. If you ask them, why should you read the word of God? They're not reading. If you ask them, is the word of God perfect? They don't know. So they're still not taking time intentionally to understand the things of God, to understand what it means to be a Christian. That's why even you're a parent, yes, but if your child asks you, why am I not of another religion? You really cannot explain even to your own child or to your own spouse why you believe. Then it still shows that you have not purposed to grow spiritually. Then a spiritual babe might be gifted. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, I mean, just like in the natural, babies come with their own gifts. You can find a child is born and the child just is a gifted singer. I mean, as they grow, they just have a voice, they're gifted. But you see, when you examine their lives, they don't bear fruit. Yes, they have the gift. So it is very important. You need to differentiate those that have the gift as opposed to those that have the fruit. Now, remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. So when you bear fruit, is that you are able to reproduce after your own kind. That means that you've grown in the things of God, that you can teach the same faith to someone else, and this other person is able to grow and understand the things of God. So it is not really about the gift. There are many gifted people, but gift does not equate to spiritual maturity. You can find someone, yes, they can prophesy. Oh, yeah, maybe they can see visions. Oh, maybe they are gifted in music. But you see, that is a gift. Gift does not equate to maturity. So you can find someone, yes, is a prophet, is all these miracles are happening. But on the contrary, you find that they are living immoral lives. So in that thing, then you will have to differentiate that this person is operating on a gift, but is not having the fruit. And Jesus said that you shall know them by their fruit. You shall know them by their fruit. Now, another thing that tells about spiritual babes is that they easily fall away during trials and persecutions. When tough times comes, when someone puts you to the test and say, can you prove you're a Christian? Or if you're a Christian, we're going to kill you. Many babes will say, no, I'm not a Christian. I'm not ready to die. Why? When persecution comes, when tough times, and let's say maybe you've been praying to God to heal your parent and your parent dies. And because your parent died, you say, no, I don't care about God. I'm done. When trials come and you find that you've lost your faith, the Bible says, if you fall in the day of adversity, how weak is your strength? When you're still a spiritual babe, when you're still not yet mature, then when trials come, you find that you fall away. Spiritual babes think about themselves. It's about what I want. What can God do for me? God, I need a job. I need a wife. I need a babies. I need a good house. I need a new car. Oh, my boss, I need you to sack my boss. Give me a different boss. Babies are always me, me, me. And it's about competition. Oh, I'm better than this person. I need to be better than this. But when you're mature, you're kingdom-minded. The question you ask is, what can I do for the kingdom of God? Yes, I'm gifted. Yes, I'm a member of this church. But do I just come to just sit in the church, or is there something that I can do? Can I maybe do an instrument? Can I arrange the hall? Can I give based on my substance? A kingdom-minded person asks, what can I do for the kingdom of God? And that is why when Jesus was asked by his parents, "Didn't you know we're looking for you?" And he said, "Didn't you know that I'll be in my father's business? I'll be in my father's house." A kingdom-minded person is someone who is mature, is someone who is thinking about how will the church grow? How will the believers grow? And the other difference that I could picture, and it's not exhaustive, you could still have more, is that consistency in spiritual disciplines. If you don't find that you have a consistent discipline, spiritual discipline, and all of these spiritual disciplines, you don't have a consistent prayer life. You don't have a consistent study of the Word of God life. You're not reading the Bible consistent. You don't have a consistent pattern of fasting. You could just decide, let's say even once a month, you just say the first Friday or the first day of the month or the first 3 days of the month I'll fast. Or you just say once a week I will fast. You will even find that even some of those of the other faith, they're actually even more consistent in the spiritual disciplines than we who are of the true faith. Now that should challenge you, in that should tell you that you're not growing and you're not putting yourself, disciplining yourself towards spiritual growth. Now giving, how is your giving life? How is your tithing life? How is your service? How are you serving God? How are you giving yourself to the service of God? You see, as you learn to exercise these things, then you grow in consistency. You become consistent, then you start to realize that God now starts to give you responsibility. Why? Because he sees that now you are becoming mature. You now can handle things. He can send you to another country. Why? Because God will not waste you. Why should God give you a job that will kill you? Why should God increase your salary, and when you get your salary, your goal is just going to get into alcohol, or you're now going to think of getting a different girlfriend and all that? Why? Because he says, why should he kill you? So there are things that limit us, not because of our own self, but not because God is limited, but because we limit our own growth. I'll be concluding soon, and I want to say that the end goal of spiritual growth is becoming like Christ. Why are we growing? What are we growing to? We are growing to be made in the image and likeness of God. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 says that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying here for the building of the body of Christ. We are being built together as a body of Christ. And verse 13, which is a highlight for me, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to grow into stature, to become, we grow into the fullness of Christ, so that in our capacity, when someone looks at you, they see Christ. When someone looks at you, how you work, how you're dealing with people in the office, how you're dealing, how you're taking care of your family, how you're living your life with outsiders, can they see Jesus in you? Are they able to see the hands of Christ, the body of Christ? He is our head, yes, but can they feel the love of Christ when they encounter us? This is the end goal of becoming spiritual growth. God desires that we become Christ-like. And I'll share these slides later so you can also look at the verses. I'm going to conclude and I'm going to say this. Spiritual growth is a continuous and ongoing process of becoming like Christ daily. Jesus tells us that if anyone must be my disciple, if anyone will come after me, he must pick up his cross daily and follow me. We have a responsibility to pick up our cross daily and come after our Christ. So it's a continuous, ongoing process. Number two, also, spiritual growth is an intentional process in which the believer grows in the knowledge of the things of God. And this is practically evidenced in the application in their lives. That means it's intentional. You will have to make a decision that you decide, I need to grow. I can't stay at the same level. I need to grow. Then also I want to say that despite it being intentional, it is also a grace-empowered work in that the Holy Spirit also helps us to grow. Because as you desire to grow, He is the one who now starts to reveal to you the things in your life that you need to change. Maybe there's an anger issue. Maybe there's a jealousy issue. Maybe there's a money issue. Maybe there's a lust issue. There are things that the Holy Spirit starts to reveal to us and to reveal to us, and He starts to tell you, correct this. How you speak to this person is not right. Your attitude in the workplace is not right. Correct this. So He starts to correct us and to show us the right way. So as much as we make the effort, we also receive the empowerment, the divine help from God. And all you can keep asking God is, God, give me the grace. Give me the grace. Help me. I think the person that grows the most is the person that says, God, help me. I'm struggling with this, but help me. I'm honest. You're honest with God, and you say honest. And I've also said the other point that God positions leaders, He positions pastors, He positions prophets, evangelists, and they equip us and they help us to grow into maturity. God has placed people in our lives to help us grow. Never assume that you're an island, that you don't need anyone. There are always people who are either ahead of us, who are either with us, who are either behind us, but each and every one of them have a responsibility to guide us. A child can teach you something about God. An adult can teach you something about God. Your parent can teach you something about God. Even the whole nature, creation, can teach you about God. Always ask yourself this question: what are you saying, Lord? What are you teaching me? And the other point that I said, spiritual growth, I said, is seen in the fruit and not in the gift. Purpose that your life demonstrate the fruit. And remember, the Bible does not say the fruits. It's not multiple fruits. It says the fruit, meaning that this is one whole component that should characterize our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. All these aspects are one composite fruit that manifests in our lives the more we represent and we live like Christ. And as I conclude, I will say, the Bible says that, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Each and every one of us has a responsibility to examine ourselves. Where do we stand when it comes to matters of the faith? Where are we in terms of our spiritual growth? If we are to reflect internally, are we growing or have we stagnated? Or are we growing backwards? If we judge ourselves, the Bible says, if we judge ourselves, we will not come under judgment. If we allow ourselves, if we subject ourselves to the Holy Spirit for Him to check us, then we will not fall under judgment. Everyone who stands, let him take heed that he does not fall. And even that's why Paul says that I press, not that I have attained it, I press on towards the goal to achieve the mark of the higher calling in Christ Jesus. We keep pressing. Spiritual growth is a continuous process. There's no point that you should get, you say, oh, now I'm done, I've learned everything. No, daily we keep growing, and each day keep asking God, show me something new about yourself, and God, I believe, is able to teach us and to grow us in all these aspects. So I'm going to stop there for now, and I pray that God is able to speak and has ministered to us, and in a different way, that we should be able to reflect on the blessing of God and grow spiritually. So I'll just take a moment to pray, just a short prayer, and then I'll welcome Ralph, and then I'll welcome my sister Funke. So let me just pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, the Lord, you've given us a chance to hear from you, O God. The Lord, you love us. And when you speak to us, it is for our benefit, O God. It is not that we are perfect on our own, but it is you that makes us righteous. It is you that is on the path of growing us, O God. I pray that as we listen, as we have listened to your word, the Lord, you have started to reveal the parts in us that are not right with you, O God, and the parts that we need to work on, O God, and the parts that we need to be conformed to the image of Christ, O God. I pray that you help us, O God. Forgive our sins, O God. Forgive our failures, O God. Help us that we may be able to grow in the things of God. And even as we reflect on your word and as we partake of your word, I pray for the empowerment and for the grace that comes from you. And in receive all the glory in the message that you've shared. Be exalted and be magnified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. So you're welcome, Ralph.